Check this out. It's a cloth that conducts electricity. You can stretch it, you can bend it, you can crumple it, you can wash it, and it'll still work. Scientists are developing such materials to integrate electronics into everyday objects like t-shirts, like a blanket, like furniture, and so on. If you want to know why they want to do that and how this is going to improve lives in the future, check out what Professor Tobias Krauss has to say in this episode about flexible, stretchable, and recyclable electronics that are going to be everywhere in the future. So, Tobias, what does the future look like to you?
I think lots of electronics, probably everywhere, and we won't know that it's there. It will just do its stuff, and we can ignore it.
Okay, so electronics really everywhere. What will they be doing?
What your watch does today, maybe, if you have an Apple Watch, It won't be necessary to have a watch anymore to do it. It will be in the t-shirt, maybe in the bed, maybe in the furniture. Also, if you have your apartment full of little sensors for, I don't know, air quality, temperature, and so on, it will just be anyhow in any furniture you buy, or maybe in the light bulb. You don't even know maybe where it is. And it will just produce you the data that then, of course, your cell phone or whatever will use to analyze whether you are healthy and the environment is good and so on.
Okay, so this would really make a huge difference for people's health and the health of the environment. Would that be a direction that people are going in?
I think so. I think the point is today it's a more professional thing to create data in many cases, but more and more people create data themselves, for example, on the air quality in their apartment and, of course, on their own person. Mm-hmm. They don't go to the doctor anymore. They create much of it themselves. And this, I think, will accelerate. And at the same time, because it becomes such a widespread activity, it will create markets for doing this much more easily. And electronics is the obvious way of doing this.
Yeah, okay. So electronics are already quite ubiquitous right now, right? Like, yeah, you have your smartphone, you have your smartwatch, you have smart rings, you have all of these kind of things. So why aren't we at the stage of having it practically everywhere where we need it to be sensing stuff?
It's basically a materials challenge because electronics comes from very hard materials, you know, not flexible. Also, its own class of materials, which themselves then are not used in structure or in textiles or so. Mm-hmm. And I think the point is that there is a convergence. So you will have more materials that can be both used to make a structure, to make something that's soft, something that uses that is useful as a furniture and so on. But at the same time, inside have what is required to provide electronic function.
And when you say structure, What exactly do you mean by that?
Something that's stable enough, you know, to hold things. Mm-hmm. Or maybe things like, I mean, what is it that actually makes your clothing work? It keeps the heat, it can deform it. All these properties, which are well established in materials. Right? Yeah. People have been developing the t-shirt, the cotton, and so on for centuries.
Yeah.
But it has only this function. And it will, I think, be an additional function that makes it intelligent to be electronically active.
Okay, so, but electronics, as you said, they are hard.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you integrate them in a structure which is like a woven fabric or which is soft and flexible and so on?
I mean, the naive way of doing it, and I brought a sample with the naive version, is here. You just, you take something that's soft. Now we took some rubber and you just put something that works in electronics. This is aluminum, very common metal. But the trouble is, and this works, you can combine it, no? Technology is there. But the problem is when you then deform, and I hope I can show this in the camera, it doesn't like it. Probably you can see how it's starting to change its color, maybe not. But it becomes less and less conductive and it actually fails at the end. So you can do this, and there are people who are already using this. You can buy things that are electronics and are flexible, right? Mm-hmm. So you can do it in that way to a degree. But the next big thing is to actually really do this at smaller scales and to really combine the materials at smaller scales by making what people call composites or hybrids. This, for example, is it's on a fabric and it is a piece that contains conductive particles in an elastomer matrix. And if you stretch this, it actually stays conductive. And it can be stretched many times, because you have this combination, something that's flexible, something that's conductive, and is really intertwined, is really combined at a small scale.
So what is this small scale that you're talking about? Are we talking about what is the structure at the small scale that's actually allowing this to happen?
So sometimes it's nanometers, where really you have very small particles, for example, and they have properties that make it possible to, for example, create flexibility. Mm-hmm. You can, for example, make a very, very thin metal wire. Mm-hmm. And that is very flexible, actually, and bendable, and is also rather transparent optically. Mm-hmm. But often it's also a bit bigger. No? Microns, for example, some of these things you can already buy, and they are made by micron-scale particles dispersed in a polymer, for example.
Okay, so if I think very naively of just applying a metal on something, a film of metal on something, and then I stretch it, I'm just going to get cracks in the middle or so, right?
Exactly.
So what do you mean by the nanoparticles or the microparticles? What do they do to
they
prevent
can
that?
So they that's the trick, move. Yeah. They can move against each other. No? I mean, it's a bit like, why does rubber work? Why is it stretchable so much? And the reason is that you have polymer chains, and when you stretch it, they are first entangled, and when you stretch it, they just extend. Mm-hmm. You're not breaking any of their bonds, and then you let it back, and they actually like to be entangled back. And, so and basically here, we do something similar. We put now conductive particles in there, and when you pull, they start rearranging, and they form new connections and so on. It's maybe not as conductive anymore, but then if you let it snap back, they just go back and rearrange, and they are conductive again.
So are they like polymers then, like long chains of something that's conductive?
Can be. We're doing that. So with nanowires, for example, we are working on that, and it's an interesting one. But often it's just like flakes or spheres, and they make what people call aggregates, assemblies where they are connected in some way. Some of them look, it's usually not really like a string. It's more like a flock, like a complicated, you know, snowflake or something like that, not that regular. Okay. Complicated shape.
Yeah.
And that connects all of them. And then they make larger and larger structures by connecting. And this whole thing can be deformed.
Okay. And then that can just kind of bulk up or
stretch
out.
Okay.
So when you talk about this, what I can already imagine in terms of existing kind of flexible, foldable things are folding phones. Mm-hmm. Right. So is that kind of how they also function?
So some of them really use this approach that basically is illustrated here. You just put a thin film, and because if you stretching is the hardest thing, bending is easier because then you only locally stretch a little bit, so this is easier to sustain.
Okay.
And so you can even do this with relatively conventional materials if you're very clever and know how to structure it. The more you want to bend it, the problem is always how many times do you want to really bend it, and so on, and also how tight is the bend to be, the more you have to go to actually new materials.
Yeah, okay. And where is stretching really needed?
So one application area is where you really want large deformations. So for example, maybe it's close to the body. People really hate it if something cannot deform and keeps them from moving, right?
Yeah.
So that's things that really need this stretchability. They need to be as stretchable maybe as your skin.
Yeah.
There's other cases where, for example, you have actually structures that deform in their normal operation. So say you have a tire and you want to build it electronics. I mean, it's very difficult to find a place where it doesn't deform at some place.
Yeah.
And you cannot, if you build something rigid, you will just have a piece that then makes the whole thing rigid locally.
Yeah, okay. And this would also apply, like in the beginning, you talked about having your T-shirt and then you have all these sensors in there and so on.
Yeah, that's also...
This would apply in there. But the T-shirt also has other challenges because it's not just stretching or folding, right? Like it has a certain lifetime and you use certain things. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that's the tough one. I mean, so a lot of people say, then you have stretchable materials and certainly you can immediately put it in the clothing. But then you talk to textile people and they're like, yeah, that's what you think. Because the stuff needs to go in the washing machine, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, serious chemical challenges, right? 60 degrees, the whole thing is being... So this takes a lot of ingenuity. Usually it's not just the material that you need. You also need to encapsulate. You need to connect it in the right way to the fibers.
Yeah.
Some people make fibers where it's inside and so on.
Okay.
So this is not so easy indeed. And I would say actually maybe really a t-shirt that is still needs to be reasonably cheap because it's also not going to be good forever, is really washable, also survives when you keep it in the sun or you it's fully sweated and so on.
Yeah.
It's a challenging one. Maybe not the very first product that will come on the market. Maybe more like a jacket.
Okay. And I mean, the one that you have here already that you showed, this looks like it's on a textile.
That's on a textile, right? Exactly.
So how far can you go with that? Can you actually wash this, would you say?
Yeah, you can wash those. I think at some point, this one actually is more limited probably by adhesion, so it will flake off. It's a bit like if you buy these t-shirts that have some funny joke on it, right? Mm-hmm. And you wash them 10 times.
True.
And we get exactly the same kind of problems, right? So,
okay.
So, but it's doable. There are also, I think I once saw somebody with a t-shirt that had some, at least it was lighting up in some place, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's people going to Comic-Con, for example, integrate lights and things, in their clothes. That kind of happens quite commonly. So, are you working towards solving some of these challenges to make them more durable and cheaper and long-term usable?
So one thing is, for example, and that's really something that we are very active in also on the more applied side, how many times can you stretch? Because in reality, every time you stretch, as I was saying, things are rearranging and it's not going to be it will not go back to perfectly the same state. There will be some rearrangement, some change. And very often what happens, if you look at it from a technical perspective, the resistance, I mean, if you stretch it, it goes up a lot. Then it goes down again. You release it, but it doesn't go down all the way to the original point. And you do it 50,000 times. So we have these machines that keep stretching and you measure the conductivity or even, I don't know, 50,000. This was something that people often require, but we've done it even hundreds of thousands of times.
Oh, wow.
And then you see sometimes it's okay, you know, it degrades and very slowly some of them go like, oof, and they are useless after 20,000.
Okay.
And it's really not so obvious why. And that's something, for example, that we look at in great detail. What really happens? How do they rearrange it?
That's really at the fundamental level.
That's a very basic question, but it's very much linked to a really applied question because the companies, they say, well, I mean, we have to fulfill some specification, you know, it needs to be tested and it needs to be stretchable to 5% or whatever for 50,000 times.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. So what you have shown here right now are like conductors, right?
Yes.
Like they're just wires right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you talk about electronics, it's transistors, it's batteries and so on. Are there solutions for all of these also to be stretchable?
So yeah, we are working on it. There's also interest in making semiconductors stretchable. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing this. Creating even junctions and so on.
Mm-hmm.
This is further along the line. I mean, that's not something that's actually few of them that really have made it to any application yet, stretchable ones. There is the option of using polymers because there are semiconductor polymers and this has been done. It's been quite a bit of, they have challenges in terms of lifetime. The way we do it is actually taking particles of semiconductors and then using them in a similar way.
Okay.
And this works to a degree, but the reality is that many times electronics requires junctions, so very clean connections between, say, two semiconductors. Mm-hmm. And that's difficult to make in the same way because suddenly you have all kinds of particles and the connections are changing. So more difficult than in traditional approaches.
But very interesting area to explore and try to figure out.
Yes. So that's why we're at it.
If I think of this as a whole, you talked right in the beginning that you see the future having electronics everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We already do have a lot of electronics everywhere. And what a lot of people don't talk about, or actually maybe which is being more talked about now, is at the end of life, what happens. We've looked at these horrid images of graveyards of electronics
that
are huge. And so if there's electronics everywhere, is it going to be a problem for the environment? Eventually?
I think so. And I think it already is.
Mm-hmm.
Because already do we have these devices. I'm not naming any specifically, but people probably know already that some of these vapes are single use.
Yeah.
And they are relatively complicated combinations of materials, and there's electronics in there because it's required for the function. And when you throw it away, there's basically no way to take it apart. So we have the problem, and it's a serious one. The EU also has moved to regulate this. And so if the companies like or not, they will have to come up with solutions. And for us as a researcher, that means, as researchers, it means also we need to think about how to do that. And one way we've been pushing is there are fields where such combinations are being recycled. So one very successful example is the paper industry because they de-ink. So they, you know, printed matter. Mm-hmm. It gets recycled, the mm-hmm. paper. But if you would leave the ink in there, everything would be brown, gray, and black in the end.
Yeah.
So they already have a way to remove it. It's not reused in any way, the ink, but at least it's out of the system. Mm. And so we've also looked at, if you anyways use particles to make things conductive, can't you redisperse it?
Mm.
And this works. This is possible to do in some ways. So it's actually very appealing to then say, I take the particles and make a new ink and then print again, which mm-hmm. is great, but economically usually totally uninteresting. Mm. But at least you can then say, okay, we take the structural parts out, now the material that's mainly doing structural things, and that can be recycled one way. We take all this other stuff in another one, and then if we collected everything, this goes to recycling companies that, for example, take the metals out and so on.
Okay, I thought I'd catch you on this, but yeah, it's great that you've already thought about this for the future. And I think there's a lot of how people are thinking of making new materials, what happens till end of life.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a very interesting future that's developing, and where you're part of developing that, and with the sustainability mindset behind it. I can't wait to see where this goes. And thank you very much for all these really interesting explanations of how our future technology with electronics are going to be working.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Wonderful. So, thanks everyone for listening. Of course, we're on YouTube, we're on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Blue Sky. We're going to be coming out with more episodes like this. So, see you in the next one.